ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Hi, I'm Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett.
And we are obsessed with flipping puberty positive.
Puberty is a stage of life best described as a roller coaster of physical and emotional shifts. It happens to literally every human being on earth. And it shouldn't be cringy. It should feel, you know, pretty comfortable.
Which is why we started this podcast and a newsletter, and why we film slightly ridiculous but informative social media videos.
It's why we have a brand that makes clothes that literally feel so comfortable, and why we write books too. Our latest is This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained.
We have built a universe of puberty positivity, and it all started with this podcast.
We are so happy that you're here. We are so happy to welcome back to the podcast Dolly Clock, who is a family medicine doctor. She's the founder of Adolescens in LA. Cara loves that because it's a fun pun. And a mom of two teens. And over the past 20 years, Dolly has worked with countless kids and their parents, having important conversations about tons and tons of tricky subjects: puberty, sex, substance use, body image, mental health, technology, and on and on. And today we're really excited to have Dolly on to talk specifically about nicotine.
You know, the conversations we've had with her in the past are more about party culture. And she talks about what the substances that kids are experimenting with look like in a social setting. This conversation is different. This conversation is much more about a substance that is used independent of party culture, sometimes as part of party culture, but sometimes just as part of daily living. And, you know, nicotine is no stranger to any of us listening to this podcast, whether you were raised at a time where smoking was completely glamorized, or you were raised at a time where the harms of smoking were identified and then smoking was completely demonized. Nicotine has been a part of the conversation in different ways for, I mean, certainly as long as I can remember. And it continues to play a role in the lives of our kids day in and day out. So this is an episode about identifying nicotine use, understanding nicotine use, and most importantly, having conversations about nicotine use that leave judgment aside and lead with curiosity. Dolly. We don't have favorites on this podcast, but I'm just saying, if we did,
I know. I'm always so happy to be with the two of you. And it's like so hard to socialize these days because everyone's busy. So now I to like hang out with you, I have to come on your podcast.
Yes.
It's I like true. The framing for this podcast. We're just welcome to the hang. This is how Dolly and Cara and Vanessa hang. We just talk about nicotine.
This is the nerdiest thing in the history of the world. Also, like I really don't have favorites with my children because there's always one or two who are awesome.
That would not work out well.
And then others that are like not. And there's interesting because people who grew up in families were like, oh, there was totally a favorite. I was like, oh, wow. That's wild. But with podcasts, your guests are not your children. So you can actually play favorites and favor them. And Dolly, if you were my child.
I did not know where you were going with that, Vanessa.
Neither, but I love it. I love that it's landing.
You talked about we don't have favorites, but we do if we did have favorites.
And you know what, Vanessa?
Let's be honest.
It's the middle of the day on the East Coast right now. Yes. And let's just set the scene. Dolly and Cara are on the West Coast, and we have just basically downed our first cup of coffee and jumped out of the shower. So our brains weren't there yet. But
you got there. You got there eventually.
Nicotine could get your brain there. Nicotine did not get my brain there this morning, but we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about why nicotine is so addictive, what it does to the body and the brain, and all the new forms of nicotine that, frankly, some are new-ish. That's what we're going to talk about. Like newly popular at sort of a next level and newly obvious to parents, but have been around for a little while. And so we're going to talk about all that. But I don't want to say my drug of choice, but my drug of choice this morning was caffeine. That is my drug of choice, I would venture to say. Dolly's like emphatically nodding because she went to medical school. Too.
Mine's via matcha, but
yes, your drug of choice is matcha. So can we just start? Can we just go into nicotine? Is that, Vanessa, you good with that?
Yeah, I was waiting for the first question.
All right, here it is.
But we got to matcha instead. So Dolly, are you revved and ready to go?
Maybe not revved, but I'm ready. Yeah.
Good.
I'm going to start the conversation from a more physiological place, and then we can get into the social piece of this, which becomes really, really important. Mm-hmm. But let's start by having a conversation about what nicotine does in the brain. And why, for most people who ingest it in some way, it feels so good.
Okay, fantastic place to start. So nicotine is such a powerful substance. And I think that's a good starting point. Actually, can we start with an even more broad starting point?
You bet.
I think we like ended here with one of our last podcasts we did together. But overall, like this generation of teenagers is making actually very healthy choices when it comes to substance use. And when we look at all substances, their use is down compared to past generations, including their use of nicotine is much lower than previous generations. So I just don't want us to seem like alarmists in this conversation. So I just want to throw that out. So, but nicotine, right? Nicotine comes from the tobacco plant, and it acts very powerfully in our brains and our bodies, but in the brain, it influences other neurotransmitters that act in the brain, many of them, but the one that we probably will end up talking a lot about is dopamine, right? Which is part of our natural reward system within our brains that's like evolutionarily wired in there for survival, right? So like you eat, you get a release of dopamine, you have sex, you get a release of dopamine, right? This is why we survive as a species and why this system is there. And so if you ingest nicotine in whatever form, we'll talk about the different forms, right? This will act powerfully on your brain and release that dopamine. That's a feel-good chemical in our brains. It also has other effects in the brains like increasing focus and increasing attention, right? And motivation. And so this is where some adults are just thinking about using nicotine in different ways, you know, for those effects. But what we, I think, are going to focus on is, you know, nicotine use among adolescents, right? Young people. And the most important message is really that teenage brains or adolescent brains, so going up until age 25, are wired for risk and for reward, and they have this revved up reward system and circuitry. And so this is why their brains are primed for addiction in a different way than adult brains are. So they're at higher risk of developing substance use disorder to basically any substance because of the way their brains are wired.
So before we get there, I think this conversation deserves a moment about the limbic system. What I'd like to do, and I have pulled up in front of me on my screen, a very detailed drawing of the brain with all of the parts of the limbic system labeled. And there are many parts of the limbic system. I just want to nod to Andrew Huberman's podcast about nicotine and where it works inside the brain. For those people who want to understand the neurology and the neurophysiology of all of this, he has an episode that walks through the different parts of the limbic system and how they are impacted by nicotine. And he spends about a half an hour of about a two-hour podcast walking through in a very detailed, but I think accessible way, how this works. But we're not going to spend that much time. We're going to just do a quick overview because on this podcast, we talk about the limbic system a lot, but we talk about it as one unit. We talk about it as a thing. And of course, it has lots and lots of different parts inside it. And those parts have different neurotransmitters, different sensitivities to neurotransmitters, and therefore have different jobs. So there are specific areas of the limbic system that are more involved in, say, motivation, and other parts of the limbic system that are more involved in risk and reward. I don't think we need to go into a whole lot more detail than that. But Dolly, if you want to add anything, it's just to say that the limbic system is not a monolith. There are lots and lots of pieces to it. And we'll talk about nicotinic receptors in the brain, but they are scattered throughout the limbic system in different amounts so that certain corners of the limbic system are more turned on when you ingest nicotine. And this is going to have everything to do with what you just described in the teenage brain.
Right. Okay, great. I mean, we could go into so much detail, but I think for people to understand that limbic system, that where the reward circuitry is part of that, the hypothalamus, like that's a part of your brain that tells you you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're full, all of that, that's part of the limbic system. This is also where the big moods and the emotions come from, right? That's all part of the limbic system. And that part of the brain is already functioning and signaling very efficiently by the time your kids are like ending elementary school, heading into middle school early, right? And the other piece, which is not specific to the limbic system, but that you also talk about, is that cognitive control piece that is not yet fully online and won't be until they're 25, right? So that's that prefrontal cortex. And so there's that imbalance sort of between those two, right? And so teens, young teens, older teens, even young adults are making these feel-good choices because of that sort of revved-up limbic system and because they don't have the cognitive control. And also with peer influence, I think we should throw that in too. When peers are in the picture, they actually have decreased activity in their prefrontal cortices because of that influence of the peers. And so that further drives them toward these feel-good decisions that they're making. But yeah, dopamine is definitely part of this. It's part of like the nucleus accumbens. That's part of the limbic system. That's part where that reward circuitry lives. And dopamine acts heavily there. There's another neurotransmitter called GABA that sort of has inhibitory effects, and nicotine diminishes those inhibitory effects. So that further drives that feel-good feeling, right? There's neurochemicals like epinephrine and norepinephrine that are part of our fight or flight response that also acts in this part of the brain. And that's where some of that focus and attention and stimulation effects come from nicotine.
So before I hand the baton to Vanessa, I just want to summarize this one piece. And then Vanessa, I want to hand it off to you to get into some of the nitty-gritty. So just for clarity, for those who don't understand how nicotine works in the brain, So when nicotine is ingested, it could be smoked. It can be absorbed across mucous membranes. We're going to talk a lot about that in this episode. It gets into the body lots of different ways. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. So nicotine actually circulates in the body and has direct effects in certain ways on the body itself. And then it crosses the blood-brain barrier and it goes into all those different spots that Dolly was just talking about. And it attaches to nicotinic receptors. Those are little, like, think of them as little hands on the outside of cells, and they're going to catch the ball of the nicotine, right? Or little mitts, and they're going to catch the ball of the nicotine. And that sort of turns on some of the machinery inside the cell, turns on the neuron. It also has a dopaminergic effect. So that's what Dolly was explaining, that, you know, nicotine and dopamine are very, very intertwined. They work together. They also work with norepinephrine, which is the brain's version of epinephrine. And that is the hormone that we all think about as the fight or flight hormone. And then GABA, and this is a very important piece of what you just mentioned. GABA is like on the other side of the seesaw. If dopamine and norepinephrine and nicotine are all up, 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 turn on triggers, GABA is Debbie Downer. And it's a very important thing to have a neurochemical in the brain that can turn down the volume. But what nicotine does is it diminishes the GABA effect. So not only does it turn up certain parts of the brain, but it reduces GABA's ability to turn down the volume. And that feels very, very good in a lot of brains. That's, I think, where we can land with the biology, the physiology, that whole piece. Vanessa, pick it up now. Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious. And I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator. Cara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has 7. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery, so bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. and you can use the code PUBERTY10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is PUBERTY10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you.
Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal, and even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has four flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter, and fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code PUBERTY at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code PUBERTY to save $5.
Those of you sitting here are like, great, that's awesome. But like, I have a seventh grader who I know has a bunch of friends who are vaping. How do I talk to them about it? Oh, and by the way, my kid is ADHD and I'm like extra worried about addiction and nicotine. And also what is out there? Cause I keep hearing about products that like literally didn't exist when I was in middle school. And now I'm completely freaked out. So let's set a scene. Let's give everyone a scenario to hold on to, right? You've got a seventh grader and you're going through their coat pockets to throw it in the wash because they've spilled blue Slurpee down the front of it and it's disgusting. And in the pocket, you find this, what you thought was maybe bubble tape, but actually it's Zyn, Z-Y-N. And you look at it and you're like, I have no idea what this is. And by the way, I am freaking out because I have no idea what it is. So it could be literally anything except for what I thought it was, which is bubble tape. So let's take that scenario and then we can walk people through the different products out there. But there's been a lot of press about Zyn. So can we start with that and then kind of help people through the other options available?
Yes, we can absolutely start there. I will say the more likely thing today that you would find in the seventh grader's pocket
is a vape.
Is a vape. So right. Just so people understand that this is not like the most common thing that younger kids are using, but I think we're going to see a difference. So I started digging into Zyn just within the last couple months because a friend of mine was traveling to Sweden over winter break. And she came back and she was like, have you heard of these Zyns? Because they were everywhere. So what she was talking about, and there are different brands. So this is just one of them. There's On and Rogue and Velo, and there's a whole bunch, but these are nicotine pouches. They're these little pouches and they come exactly what you talked about in these little round containers, like you might see mints or gum sold in. And there's 15 of these little pouches in there. The kids call them pucks or tins. And what they do is they take one of these pouches and the pouches contain nicotine. They're being marketed as tobacco free because it's just the isolate of the nicotine without the other tobacco plant products in it. So they have nicotine and whatever chemicals create the flavoring. They come in different flavors, citrus, like a bajillion mint flavors, coffee. Most of them seem to like the citrus and the mint. And they put this pouch in their mouth and it goes in between their lips. Some like to use it in the upper lip area, some in the lower lip. So between the lip and the gum line, and it sits there and the nicotine comes out of this pouch and is absorbed by the oral mucosa. And there's little blood vessels that line the mucosa in our mouths. And the nicotine gets absorbed into those blood vessels and then gets into the bloodstream. And then, like Cara says, passes the blood-brain barrier to have all those effects in the brain, and also has effects in the body, particularly the heart and the blood vessels. And so that is what creates the feeling, right, that they're getting when they use these products.
Are they more concentrated, Dolly, than, like, we can go through the variety of things, but are Zyns more concentrated than, let's say, vaping? Or it sounds, for those of us who grew up in the 70s and 80s, like dip, you would put some tobacco in your lip and it would cross into the body with the same mucosa.
It's the same idea. There's also something called snus. These are more like snus, which were pouches of tobacco leaf product, right? So these don't create, interestingly, they don't create a lot of saliva. So you're not like having to spit like with chewing tobacco. They're super discreet. And this is very important for us to understand as parents who are concerned about nicotine use in our kids, because we all knew, like, one of the reasons vaping, which we'll get to, took off was because it was so much more discreet than cigarette smoke. You couldn't really smell it. There wasn't like a ton of plume with some of these disposables, right? They could kind of puff it under their shirt and like do it in class and people wouldn't notice, right? This is even more discreet than that. Like, you would have no way of knowing, looking at someone, they can talk to you and they've just got this thing tucked up in their mouth and you would never know.
Well, can we do, you'll never know though. Because I've talked to a ton of kids who say, you always know. Because these aren't small. I mean, we should just describe the size. You may not know if there's a lot of facial hair obscuring or whatever, but these, when we look at Zyns, for instance, the packs, I mean, it's like having, I don't know what house, I'm looking at my desk, like there's some household object that I can compare to, but it's not small enough that you don't see a bump or some sort of protrusion between the gum and whatever lip it's tucked into. So if you see that and your kid's like got something in their mouth and it looks like there's a little lump on one side, it's obvious. I mean, it's not obvious, but it's often obvious, I should say, if you're looking for it.
To look for.
Yes. Yeah.
But they are, so they come in different strengths. So this particular brand comes in 3 milligram or 6 milligram strength. The typical cigarette has 10 milligrams of nicotine in it. Some people, particularly when I talk with college age students, some of them started this a couple years ago when they were still in high school, when they first came out, they've got one in there basically their entire day, all waking hours.
Wow. That's right.
They get up till like they're falling asleep and they take it out. So it is a constant dose of nicotine. And as the way they describe it to me, teens of different ages, is that the hit is very strong. Mm-hmm. So actually, I've had some older teens say they don't think this will be a bigger deal with the younger generation, you know, the younger kids starting, because this is their opinion, because the hit is so strong and it's like, it actually burns. It's like when you first use it, it's a burning sensation. Hmm. And even for people who use it regularly, they tell me if they stop using it for a while, if they go back to vaping for a while and they start again, they feel that again. There's actually concern among dentists about, because there have been some people who have come in with like sores in their gums. And we know with chewing tobacco, those products are carcinogenic, right? Can cause oral cancer. Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen if that happens with this, which is just the nicotine.
So that's a really important point too. It remains to be seen. What I didn't hear you say is it doesn't cause cancer.
Right. We don't know yet.
We have no idea.
Right. We don't know. So one of the young people I spoke to was a college sophomore who uses them, Dan, you know, constantly. And I think this is an interesting story. So he started with this when he was a high school senior. And the reason he switched to Zyns was because he could no longer make it through the length of a class without getting up and leaving to go to the bathroom to vape. And he found that when he started using Zyns, it was stronger and like the effect lasted longer. So it allowed him to get through a class and he didn't have to excuse himself. So that tells me that it is stronger, right? The effects are there. And one of the things that particular person told me that was like such a sad thing to say is because I was asking him about the feeling of it. Like, what does it feel like? And he's like, oh, I don't really get a good feeling from it anymore. It's just, I just use it to get by. Right. Mm. So that's, Cara, something we should talk. That comes back to the brain piece. I see you jumping out of here. We're both like, who gets to talk about this?
Right? I know. Okay. I have a question. I want to make a comment and ask you a question specifically about that. So the comment I want to make is just to explain that when you describe that needing to leave the classroom to take a hit off a vape or a hit of nicotine in some way, remember, there's a dose of nicotine being delivered, that dose surges, and then it drops. And the comparison with a Zyn or an oral delivery device is your dose never drops. That's that high, high, and the low, low. We talk about those all the time with all the sex hormones and moods. Well, the same is true when you use a drug like nicotine. And so that's what you were describing, right? Can you go into, Dolly, the developing brain and why kids become more dependent on substances when they expose their brain to substances? Because my mantra has always been, as a parent, as a pediatrician, has always been, when we talk about substances, alcohol, nicotine, any drug, my philosophy is not ever doesn't generally work as a piece of advice, but delay as long as possible. So just not now is the way I'm hoping you'll go. And here's why. Can you fill in the blank? Why does the brain become dependent?
Right. I mean, that's what we all say, right? Delay, delay, delay. Like literally every year you can delay is an advantage, right? And so, and this has to do with all substances, but nicotine is so, so powerful. And it really comes down to that dopamine effect that we talked about. And dopamine is a neurochemical that we all have in our brains that's just there at a baseline all the time. And what happens, and this happens to adults too, but it happens in a more pronounced way in still developing brains, is when the brain gets used to this substance that's causing that dopamine release, like nicotine, right? The brain adjusts to this higher level of dopamine that's being released. And so in order to not have things be like out of control, the brain will lower. Dopamine needs to be in a balance, right? So that natural baseline level of dopamine goes down in order to accommodate for those surges that happen with the substance use. And so then what happens is once the substance, like the nicotine, wears off, now this kid in its brain is left with a lower baseline level of dopamine. So they feel worse. They feel down. They feel low. And the withdrawal symptoms of nicotine are significant, right? Because if you think about how the effects of nicotine are making you feel good, making you feel focused and motivated, right? The withdrawal is making you feel anxious. It's making you feel irritable. It's making you feel tired and sluggish, right? And so this is uncomfortable, right? And this is particularly important if you have a kid who struggles normally with anxiety or depression, right? Mental health, mood issues, like this is going to make them worse. And this is, I cannot emphasize this point enough, because I hear over and over and over from teens that they started nicotine because it made them feel better. They felt like it was helping their anxiety. It was helping their mood. I once interviewed an owner of a vape shop. This was back in 2019 when we were having the vaping, the Evoli lung damage, you know, epidemic going on. I interviewed an owner of a vape shop, and she told me of a kid who came in, a minor, trying to buy, and she wouldn't sell to her because she was under 21. The mom came back with her daughter and said, I'm buying this for my daughter. She needs it for her anxiety. It may in the moment make the anxiety better, but it is over time going to make the anxiety so much worse because of that effect I just described of the withdrawal symptoms and that lowering of that baseline of dopamine.
Dolly, can you speak to the interaction of nicotine in a kid who has ADHD and how it may impact their reaction to nicotine?
Some kids with ADHD, you know, are many have difficulty focusing, right? Some can hyper focus as well, right? But you can see how this would be the effects might be even more enticing to someone who already is maybe struggling with focus. And so now they're getting that benefit while they're using the nicotine.
Right. I mean, there are nicotinic receptors in the part of the brain that is in charge of focus. And, you know, nicotinic receptors preceded the invention of Zyn, of vapes, of cigarettes. We've had these in our brain forever. I mean, not forever. Sorry, evolutionary biologist, but for a very, very, very long time. And there are a lot of theories as to why we have nicotinic receptors in our brain, but they are especially concentrated in the area of focus. And so, Vanessa, it's a great question because kids who have attentional issues, adults who have attentional issues, will often describe feeling focused with some nicotine.
Dolly, let's talk about vapes for a minute, because yes, people are more familiar with them, but there's been a lot of change over the last few years around vapes, partially because of legal action and partially because technology seems to constantly evolve and deliver new ways to deliver nicotine to people. So can you help people understand, first of all, the distinction between like an e-cigarette versus a vape that delivers other kinds of drugs?
So first of all, this is, I mean, it's such an important conversation. And when we started talking about Zyns, I was saying this is the more likely device, right? That nicotine delivery device that you would find on your seventh grader for sure.
And just to clarify, legally, a person should be how old, Dolly, in order
21.
To purchase these? 21. Okay. 21. So for all of this, so it's as if a 12-year-old is purchasing a case of beer, right? Like it's right. The same legal.
You should think of it the same way.
Restriction. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So there was the National Youth Tobacco Survey, which is put out by the FDA and the CDC annually. And so the 2023, the most recent results show some good news. There has been a decrease in tobacco use among high schoolers, but they're seeing a slight increase in middle schoolers. So there's 2.1 million youth that are currently using e-cigarettes. Among those who are using them currently, meaning in the last 30 days, more than one in four of those kids are using them daily, right? And 9 out of 10 use flavored e-cigarettes. Those are, and so e-cigarette is sort of like what we're talking about, an electronic cigarette. So these are devices that allow for nicotine delivery through the lungs, right? So you inhale them and there's usually a battery component that heats up a liquid. There are disposable versions, there are refillable versions, and what is inhaled, and I think this is where there's that a little bit of that confusion, although parents have started to figure it out. Again, some parents feeling like this is not a big deal, like you're inhaling water vapor. It is not, even though they're called vapes, it's not vapor. What's being inhaled is an aerosol. And that aerosol contains, in the case of nicotine vapes, nicotine, along with a bunch of chemicals for the different flavors, right? And particulate matter, including heavy metals. And some of these chemicals that are in there are known carcinogens. So our lungs are designed to exchange oxygen, right? Not to be processing this microfine particulate matter. So that is why there's a lot of concern about, you know, the effects on the lungs. So, but there are, to come back to your question, these same types of devices are now being used for delivering THC, right? And so this is where it's getting trickier and trickier for parents. When I first started talking about vapes a few years ago, there were like some people who were getting nicotine vapes, and there were like literally videos on YouTube how to hack into your vape and put cannabis in there and use it. Now that no one needs to do that because those cannabis vapes are so readily available.
So for adults who do inhale cannabis using a vape pen, mm-hmm. your kid may not be aware of the difference between your cannabis delivery vape pen and a vape that they saw a friend of theirs, you know, using behind the alley after
right.
school. And so if you are an adult choosing to use this, make sure that it is somewhere locked away and not accessible to a child living in your house who may decide it's an interesting thing to experiment with, thinking it's one thing and not realizing it's another thing.
Vanessa, this is exactly where I was going to go. I wanted to drill down on two things that Dolly just said. And one of them is this distinction. First, I just want to go back to the explanation of aerosol. So there's a great documentary out right now called Big Vape, which explains the rise of Juul and that whole company. But, you know, the innovation was that there was a heating coil that was battery operated that could heat up this liquid. And that's where this sort of concept of vapor came from. But Dolly is 100% right. And I want to make sure people hear this, that the aerosolized components can then be delivered deep into the lung. And this is a very, very effective way of getting a drug into a body. When we inhale things, the absorption into the bloodstream happens extremely quickly. Actually, it happens a little more quickly when you stick a nicotine pouch into your mouth and it's absorbed through the mucous membranes. That's important to know, but it still happens pretty darn quickly when you aerosolize it and you inhale it. I did want to talk a little bit, Dolly, about when THC, when weed is vaporized, the smell is not the smell that parents think they know and they can catch a kid smoking weed. And I would love for you to talk about that for a second. And then I would also love for you to go back to your numbers and help us understand it in the context of Vanessa's comment, which is like, can you tell us in a classroom of 30 kids, how many of them are going to be vaping, right? Just based on statistics, 25, 30 kids, how many are going to be vaping and what are they vaping? So those are sort of two versions of the same question.
Yeah. I mean, in a class of 30 kids, you've got one or two kids who are vaping, basically. And what they're, I can tell you from the survey, they actually got into the actual brands, if people would like to know. So the most common brands of e-cigarettes or these vapes that we're talking about nicotine, Elf Bar was the most common, 57%, Esco, Views, Juul, and Mr. Fog. So this is really important. What you touched on this very, very briefly is Juul is really the company that's been charged as being like responsible for the massive increase in vaping in adolescents. And this is because they had such effective marketing and they utilized young, cool, hip people, influencers to get the word out about those devices. And they were sleek and they were hip. And I know we're still talking about vaping, but to go back to the Zyns for a second, because I went down the social media rabbit hole on Zyn and it is fascinating, right?
I mean, because it's just as much as Juul, right? In terms of...
I would argue it's almost more. There are they call them Zinfluencers, right? Including Tucker Carlson, who does... There's like a video, you can Google it, of him. He's appearing on a podcast and it's like the biggest commercial you've ever seen for Zyn. It's amazing. But there's this like, especially for the boys... There is this entire community of Zinfluencers who are like very charming and charismatic. It's very much like a frat boy culture. And they have like, some of them are, I mean, hilarious. Like I spend a lot of time with teens. So I'm like basically part teenager at this point. And so I'm entertained when I watch this, even though I'm like, oh no, this is not good because now we're going to have young brains on nicotine. But they have like, names, like nicknames, they call them like Upper Deckies and Chetties and Lip Pillows and Zinachinos or Chinos. Like they've got all these, and they're just, these people are characters, right? And so I can understand why young people are drawn to this, right? And this is like, the company doesn't have to spend a dime, right? These people are out there doing the advertising for them. And just to be clear, this is Big Tobacco is behind this, right? Zyn is owned by Philip Morris. Like this is the new iteration. They keep finding newer and newer ways to hook the younger generation and with the flavors and everything else. I totally deviated from...
It's wonderful. So Dolly, can you just close the loop for us and tell us what does it smell like to vape weed?
I had deviated, and that's what I left. So yeah, so it is not going to smell like the smell that we all are familiar with from over the years, right? Because these THC vapes, they're using the same technology as the nicotine vapes, right? And so they are full of flavors, chemical flavoring. So it may just smell fruity, right? It's not necessarily going to smell like weed. So, but that is an important, that could be a conversation starter in itself, right? If you are smelling, you walk into your kid's room and it smells strongly of bubble gum, right? Or some fruity flavor, pay attention to that. It may very well be that they're not just chewing gum. That needs to be addressed. And I think when, you know, talking to teens about this, it's so tricky, but just like with any tricky topic, it's really like leading with curiosity. I always think that that's the way to approach these conversations. Ask them what they know. Ask them what they've heard. Have you heard about Zyns? Or ask them like, you can use this podcast as you're into the conversation. It could be that you drove by the park and you saw some young people vaping, and ask them like, tell them you saw that and you're curious, like what brands do people use? What have they seen in school? Is it happening in their bathroom at school? Like what, you know, just open the door to a conversation. And I think the more we can stay calm when we have these conversations, the better, right? And to not be super judgmental about other people's use, right? And just like, use it as information. And to come back to something you said earlier, Cara, you know, that when we were talking about the importance of delaying, right? It's not that you necessarily have to say you can never do any of this. It's more of a message of there's time for this in the future, right? And kids actually like to learn about their brains, that it's powerful for them. And I think the more they can understand, right? If we're coming at it, this is what I do as a physician and in my work with adolescents, is it's all about health and safety from my perspective. I'm not like making moral judgments about anybody's use. It's about health and safety. And what I know about the teen brain is that the longer you wait, the safer it will be for you and the less likely that you're going to develop a substance use disorder. So that's important for people to understand.
So Dolly, let's go back to the seventh grader and the vape, and either you find it in the kid's pocket or you rumor around town as somebody saw a group of kids, and maybe yours was there, maybe yours wasn't there, but they were vaping. You guys talked about some really complicated science at the top. That is not the way we can describe it to kids, but they do want to understand the science. So can you simplify the science for the people listening that they can use in a way with the kid in their life that is somehow balances not freaking out, not super judgy, but also giving them information about why you're so concerned and why it is risky?
Yeah, I mean, I think to really like simplify it, I would say something like, the reason I'm concerned about vaping and nicotine or THC and cannabis is because of the effects in your brain. And what happens to people when they start using these substances regularly, especially when they're still young and their brains are still developing, is that they will need to use more and more in order not just to feel good or feel a high, but just to feel normal. And I don't want you to put yourself in a situation where you're depending on a vape just to feel normal. I want you to enjoy your life to its fullest.
That's great. That's super
helpful. Such a good way in. And, you know, I'll just refer back to one other little moment in Andrew Huberman's podcast where he talks about penile girth. And I think for older teenagers, this is a really good one as well. Do you want to do it, Dolly? You want to?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, one of the effects of nicotine is it constricts blood vessels, right? And so we have people think of like the aorta and like these major blood vessels, but we have these tiny little blood vessels all over our body. So in his podcast, which I've also listened to, right, he talks about how there can be a diminishing of penile girth, the girth of your penis, meaning your penis can actually get smaller if you're using nicotine regularly. And we know from cigarette smoking that there's an association with erectile dysfunction as well, right? So that's so that can be very appealing to the guys, right? They want their penises to work well.
Not appealing, yes.
That could be, right. Well, I mean, the messaging will hit home is what I mean, right?
And is that irreversible, Dolly?
No, I think that there is some recovery potential in terms of the erectile dysfunction. I'm not sure. I haven't dug into the penile girth. Have you?
I have not dug into the penile girth, but we should look at that, Dolly, because it's just the teeny tiny blood vessels that Dolly was describing. They have teeny tiny muscles and those muscles constrict. And what happens is the blood flow goes down and also your blood pressure goes up. Actually, you feel good with nicotine because your blood pressure goes up. It actually kind of makes you feel alert and awake unless you have really high blood pressure. But higher blood pressure in those teeny tiny vessels in the penis mean that the penis will eventually start to shrink down in size. Dolly, let's get back to everyone. Maybe we'll make a social media post about penile girth and nicotine.
The other message that may hit home is wrinkles, right? Oh, we also have little blood vessels in our skin. And so nicotine affects those blood vessels as well.
And that is irreversible. And frankly, one of the things I know you teach kids when you do classes, I know I teach kids, is those teeny tiny wrinkles around the mouth are avoidable. They are avoidable if you do not smoke or use smokeless tobacco in and around your mouth. You reduce your risk of having those teeny tiny lines appear that will, once there, really like to stick around.
So all of this is to say that threatening a kid that they may develop cancer one day may be less effective than telling them their penis may be smaller than it could have potentially been, or they may have wrinkles around their mouth and that may not be something they want. So sometimes we have to meet kids where they are in our messaging about things. Like, ultimately, we care that they don't, you know, develop lung cancer, but that may feel too abstract and too far down the road for them. And these other things may matter more. And that's important when we think about these conversations. Dolly, one last question I'd be curious to hear your insights on is, how much, if any, of our own histories with nicotine do we share with our kids?
People love to ask that question about all substances, right? So
about everything, sex, substances, and sex,
right,
love.
Everything. Yes. Yes. So, all right. I mean, my philosophy is that in general, like with kids, you want to be honest, right? Because if they know that you've been lying to them, that impacts their trust. There are some details. You don't have to share every detail, right? So there may be reasons why you don't want to share every detail. If you are sharing details of your substance use, whatever it was, as an adolescent, it's important to not glorify, number one, right? Because there's a difference between saying, yeah, I did. I actually smoked cigarettes in high school, but we didn't understand at that time, like how bad that was for our brains and our bodies. And we didn't understand that a teenager who looks like an adult actually has a brain that's still developing. And we understand that. That's very different than, oh man, we used to get wasted. It was the best.
We used to drink our Zimas and smoke our Marlboro Lights until the sun came up. It was awesome.
Yeah. So not, you know, don't romanticize it, but also just, I think a very real conversation is like the stuff that's around today just didn't exist. There are different risks today because there are new formulations, there's higher concentrations, whether we're talking about nicotine or we're talking about cannabis and THC, that's true for both, right? And that puts young brains at higher risk. And that just didn't exist. So it's kind of a giant experiment right now. That's my biggest concern. It's like, yeah, there was weed. Yeah, there was nicotine, right? But not in these concentrations and not in these discrete ways that allowed people to use them like 24/7, right? And so that's a big difference. And it, you know, time will tell what the longer term effects are of that.
And Dolly, how about for the families where they're using smokeless tobacco or nicotine products to get off of smoked tobacco, right? Yeah. So we know there's a big, very big market and a very big role for these products that don't generate all the smoke byproducts.
Yeah.
For people who are trying to quit smoking. Give us a little language there to land on.
Yeah. There's one college student that spent literally, we talked for an hour about Zyns. And this was the one who had switched from vaping back as a high school senior. And there's a part of me that thinks, okay, well, this is a step maybe in the right direction, right? At least he's not inhaling it into his lungs. And so I don't want to be all negative completely about this. However, he recognizes that he's addicted to nicotine and you know is not ready to stop while he's in college because it's so prevalent, it's everywhere around him. But I think that this is how those products are also being marketed to some extent as a nicotine replacement alternative. And so while I applaud anyone who's trying to make safer choices for themselves, there are FDA approved nicotine replacement options. There are patches, there are nasal sprays, there are lozenges, there are medications that generally fall under antidepressants, medications that are very effective in helping to decrease the cravings and are often used in conjunction with other FDA approved things like nicotine patches and lozenges. And who's to say, perhaps the data will bear out that this is a great option in terms of nicotine replacement, right? Perhaps it will. So, but we're not there yet. And so if someone's trying to quit, I really encourage them to get help. Check in with your physician. If it's a kid, check in with your pediatrician, your family medicine doctor, right? If they're using it regularly, they are going to need support in quitting because it's so addictive.
And for those of you sitting here thinking, oh, how can I use Dolly's tone of voice? Because really I'm freaking out inside. If nothing else motivates you to fake it till you make it and sound really calm, it's so that if your kid needs help, if they are addicted and they need a place to go to get help to stop using nicotine, if they feel like the devil for having used it in the first place and having ignored your initial advice, they're not going to come to you. And you want to be able to help them or even give them the name of the pediatrician, the name and number. I mean, hopefully they know the name of the pediatrician, but the phone number, and let them go in and, you know, drive them over there and let them have a conversation. But if your kids feel like you will hate them forever and ever for having made a dumb choice and experimented with stuff, a dumb and understandable and age appropriate choice, then they will have one fewer path to go to get help. So stay in conversation. As Dolly said, be curious, try as best you can to give them good reasons for why they shouldn't do it. And also suspend judgment a little bit if it turns out they need some help. Dolly, as ever, you are a font of information and a total joy. And it's so great to be in conversation with you. We will share all of the many links that came up in the episode, including a link to Adolescents, the incredible organization that you run in Los Angeles, helping to educate, I don't know, how many hundreds and thousands of
zillions.
Kids? Yes.
At this point, zillions.
Yes. Thousands and thousands.
Dolly's in schools. She's doing private groups. She's out there on social media. Dolly, you touch so many people in such an effective way. We are so lucky to have your voice here.
Thank you. I always love talking with both of you, and I'm so grateful for the work you're doing. And I love it takes a village, and the more of us out there talking about all this, the better, and normalizing these conversations and leaning into all the awkward parts is what it's all about.
Thanks, Dolly.
Thank you. See you soon.
We absolutely love hearing your feedback and getting all your questions. So anytime you want to be in touch, email us at thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for great puberty products like the Oom shorts or the Oom socks or the Oom bra, do you get the theme there? Go to myoomla.com. If you want more content, you love what we do on the Puberty Podcast, and you want to have us come speak or learn more about our book or subscribe to our amazing newsletter, The Awkward Roller Coaster, go to orderofmagnitude.co. Remember, it's .co because we don't have enough money to buy .com. Yet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.